What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Clock Shorting, the podcast for everything flag football and flag football officials. I'm your host, Zane, along with the other host, Ant.
What up?
As you can see, we have a very special episode today. Ant flew all the way from California to the rainy east coast of North Carolina so he could ref in our Camel City Championship game this weekend.
Let's go. Yeah, it was 75 degrees in California yesterday, but here I am in rainy North Carolina. I guess that was the right decision. You know, we had an episode on Wednesday, and I truly apologize. For some reason, my internet was not working, not cooperating with us trying to do a live episode. Lance and Jacob both just held it down completely and really just finished the episode strong, but I could not hear anything they were saying. I was guessing. I was trying my best to keep things going, stay professional. And at some point, I just tapped out and said, maybe they'll finish it. But so the reason why all three of us were in Miami. It was a great tournament, USA Flag Miami mm-hmm. Cup. And so we just wanted to have the opportunity to kind of recap from the officials' perspective of a great tournament put on by USA Flag. So, Jordan, why don't you start us off and just recap your experience?
First to start off with, weather was perfect. It was a little hot. We had to, I bathed in sunscreen, but at the end of the day, it was a great tournament. Started Saturday with 5-9 contact. A good way to start the day. Let's put it that way. End of the day with aired out.
Okay.
Which aired out. Yeah, I am a huge fan of the format. I think it's great. When it first came out, I was a little nervous. I thought it was gonna be boring. Do we have enough good quarterbacks that can only throw the ball?
Yeah.
You know, without dinking and dumping and everything else. Now that there's no pitches allowed and everything else, mm-hmm. It's just interesting to see, how it was developed and then where it's at currently.
For sure. So what did you what kind of crew mechanics did you use throughout the day on Saturday? Was it 2-3-4 man crew?
We started with a 2-man crew. Which pretty much means that there's a guy on the line of scrimmage and then the guy on the rush line. 7 yards up, and then we just kind of flow with the play, and then from that point, it's just kind of you get your in, I get my in, and we knock it out together.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I know Dean was on our field on Saturday. Dean from the Cayman Islands. What was your experience being able to ref with an international official?
Man, so my first experience with a international guy, his name is Klaus. He's from Denmark.
Oh, okay.
I absolutely loved it. So when, and then the stories I've heard about Dean, I was super excited to meet this guy, in our ref chats, just how energetic and enthusiastic he is. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm ready to meet the man. Let's see if we can do some damage together.
Yeah, so I touched on it on Wednesday a little bit. Do you remember the incident that happened with the cool down period that Dean said for both players? And it was a fives game, but there was a little scuffle. Do you remember what happened with that situation?
No, and that was it happened on the opposite side of the field as me, and I'm going with the quarterback. And then, so the play's over, the D lineman, he gets to him. So I'm watching that just to make sure, that the quarterback is always covered. And I look over, Dean has a flag on the ground, and Dean's like, hey, he was like, let's bring it in. I want to discuss what just happened.
Yeah.
And he told us what he saw and what had happened, and the guy was still kind of going at it, so we're like, okay, perfect. Took some plays off, but they came back strong.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I mean, from my perspective, what I saw is I just feel like the rusher was kind of imposing the contact instead of letting that impede happen to him.
Yes.
So He made a little bit more contact than needed, and then he got up and started jarring with the receiver. Mm-hmm. So that's what I saw from that. So back to air it out.
Yeah.
What are the differences in rules between normal non-contact and air it out?
Oh man, it is quarterback versus quarterback. So you have four plays to go from your starting line to midline, and then you have three to finish. Or then four to finish. So it's four downs on each side of the ball. But the big thing is there's no laterals. There's no laterals, no pitches. Mm-hmm. It is just four passes. That's all it is. So, who's going to run a better route? Who can place the ball where it needs to be? Like I said, it's a great format. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, and I guess yak becomes really important in that kind of format.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Nice. Zane, what were you? Where were you at on Saturday?
So Saturday I was with Lance on same thing as y'all. I had
shout out Lance.
Yeah, yeah, big shout out Lance. I had 5 non-contact, and I had 5 aired out after that.
Okay, all right. Yeah. What was exciting going on your field on Saturday? Anything stand out to you?
It's been a week now. Off the top of my head, impeding.
Yeah.
Impeding was the biggest thing this entire week or that entire weekend. Because I don't know if it is a league rule in Florida or what they use, but it was always, they always wanted contact for it to be an impeding the rush, even though in the rules, you do not have to make contact to impede the rush.
Yeah, and I do think, I'm not sure which organization in Florida that is heavy in Florida, but there is an organization that they do require contact on the impeding. I'm not sure if it's NFL flag or one of the other ones.
Well, it has to be something statewide, because Sunday with youth, we had high schoolers from Miami.
Yeah.
We had 14U from Miami, 14U from Jacksonville and Orlando. All three teams were making a big fuss about not having contact, and I was like, it's still impeding. And remember, we even had the one team to protest the call.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in that situation, you know, bringing that up with the protest of a call, so essentially, that coach thought that he was going to be able to protest the judgment call, which the judgment call was that you saw an impeding happen with the rusher. That's not how it works, right? How does the procedure work for a protest?
So the coach, the captain comes onto the field. They have to officially call a timeout. They have to get the white hat and say, "I would like to protest this rule or this call," just depending on which one it is. And this guy wanted more of a, to me, he wanted a rule clarification because he did not, he thought that the contact had to happen.
Yeah.
And when two different directors told him that there is no contact needed, he was just very salty, only because he's like, we play all year long. Yeah. I know the rules. And I was like, man, but not here at USA Flag, because it is no contact is needed for impeding.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Yeah, and I agree. I think impeding came up a lot because I was downfield most of the day on Saturday and all the day Sunday. Of course, that wasn't something that I was seeing a lot of. What was the call that most of my flags were on Saturday?
Hold for PI. Until a flag was down, I was like, I got a hold. Yeah, I was like, perfect. I saw it too.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, and that is the biggest advantage of having a 3 or 4 man crew that I noticed on Saturday.
Yeah.
If it's just the two of us, which it was on Sunday, I'm not going to see a lot of the pulls or the holding or pulling something off of their route. In the break of a route, I'm not going to see that if I'm on a 2-man crew, because I'm marking that rush and I'm going down with the flow of the receivers, because I don't want to get beat downfield. Mm-hmm. And I got to bank on, once the ball is released, that then you're going down with the play. So that creates a big blind spot in the middle there. And, you know, veteran DBs are going to definitely take advantage of that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we were in the pro division on Saturday, and thankfully we had 3 and 4 man crews.
True.
And so me being right there, I was able to zero in on the middle of the field before any action happened.
Every time.
So the amount, especially in the red zone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the amount of contact in a non-contact format that I was seeing, I mean, my flag was coming out every few plays.
One of my favorite memories from Saturday was, we're reffing Los Reyes. Shout out, boys. Hey, congratulations for winning. So when the middle linebacker grabbed the center. Center gets his head up. He comes right at him. He just holds him. And so Ant throws the flag, and everyone on the sideline was like, yeah, they saw him. They got us. And then, of course, the linebacker's like, what? Yeah. How was that? Well, you know, he did his job as a defender.
Yeah.
You know, play it off. I get it, bro. But it was fun. Because then boys were like, all right, we tried. But I'm like, hey, respect. You know, you guys tried. I like it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I was surprised. I know Florida brings talent. Across the board, they're going to do that. But I was surprised at some of the players who were playing with specific teams and kind of – it was a little bit more broken up. I honestly think there was a good four teams that really had a chance at winning that format.
I agree.
And so that was exciting to watch. It did bring up the intensity level for sure. And it was just, you know, I guess what stood out to me, you and me don't get a lot of opportunities to officiate together.
Yes, sir.
And there was a situation where it was definitely Miami versus Orlando. We knew it was going to get heated.
Yes.
And there was a player that I just noticed that every time a call was made, he was barking at you.
Yeah.
And then I just happened to be walking by one time, and his bark really was in my ear, hooting and hollering, and still at your direction, and it was continuing. So my flag came out, unsportsmanlike, and he even brought over a director because he was upset with my unsportsmanlike call. And he basically said, look, I didn't call the ref out a name, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. And the director asked me, you know, so what happened? I said, honestly, he was stepping and vocal in an aggressive way to an official. To me, I need to protect that.
Absolutely.
And that's why my unsportsmanlike came out. Zane, did you have any unsportsmanlikes that happened on your field?
That I threw? No, but there was a situation with Marcus this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Where he threw two unsportsmanlike in the span of 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So he was talking to a defensive player, and somewhere along the way, the defense player called him a not so nice name. And Mark was like, all right, cool. Banged him with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he, of course, like, no, I wasn't talking to you, blah, blah, whatever. And then again, the same DB said the same thing right back to him. So banged him again, and that man was out for us again.
Well, and I really think that we talked about a month ago about the accessibility of officials for these players. And so I think that that's important for us to remember that we are very accessible. We're close to the field. So if we can dish out those flags early before it really affects the game.
Yeah.
Or, for example, if it's on the first play of a drive, that penalty is really only 2.5 yards.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do it anywhere, you know, start the game, play the drive, get it out of the way, and hopefully it brings everybody down a notch, and they remember, okay, we do need to treat these guys with stripes on with some respect. You know,
man, coming from a contact, a home lead that's contact, and you know, there you kind of allow it.
Yeah.
You know, just out of respect for them. You know, like, you guys, okay, man, take off, run your mouth, be boisterous, be loud. We're cool with it, but just know that there is a line.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, when you – with travel, I think that it's a lot more reserved coming from guys like us that come from contact going into this right here. Because even then, there's a lot of times that people are like, man, calm down. I'm like, you think that's calm down?
Yeah.
Hey, man, thanks.
Yeah,
but, bro, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, all right, cool. You know, it's just unique because other wrestlers, same way, they're kind of talking about – what's allowed back home compared to here, and I'm like, man, it is night and day.
Yeah, for sure. No, and something I noticed about you, Jordan, is just throughout the whole weekend with the youth, with the adults, you were having fun the entire time. You were joking around at the coin toss. You were making fun of the coaches on the youth fields. You know, it was a blast. It was fun just being able to just really let loose, and we were able to enjoy ourselves.
Absolutely.
Too. But I do feel like at the end of the day, we're officials that know the rule book. We know what we're talking about.
Sir, yeah.
Our flags come out when we see something. We're going to call it, but we want to have some fun too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, sir. I look at officiating as a hobby.
Yeah.
Just like these players play flag football, I get to go officiate.
Nice.
I think that we are, you know, the two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
We are still here together. We want to enjoy and love this game and see where it can go. And, you know, I tell people all the time that I don't think that officials should run the game. They're just there to kind of maintain it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, Zane, you were somewhere else on Sunday, right? You were doing a different format.
Yeah, so on Sunday I was white-hatting fours all day.
Okay.
Rec, comp, and elites.
Okay. And just to kind of, you know, review a little bit, what is the difference between fours and fives?
So the only difference is in fours and fives is you get one pitch back behind the line of scrimmage to be eligible for a pass.
Okay.
But as soon as you get that second pitch back, you can only run, which I've never done fours, yeah. So that was completely new to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say that there were a couple moments where it was a handoff, and then a pitch back, and then a pitch back, and I threw the flag, and it took me a realize to, or it took a minute to replay the replay it in my head. I'm like, oh my bad, wave it off.
Yeah,
my bad.
Yeah,
my bad. Didn't mean to.
Yeah, and honestly, I didn't understand that rule. Like, well, what's the basis behind that? Why is that such a big deal? But with fours, as a defense, you have such a small window to actually be able to cover.
Yeah.
And so if the offense has so many pitch bags that they can just do that and still throw the ball, their defense will not be able to cover it, you know? Yeah. And so that – there, it, when it comes down to fours, the field becomes very big for defense. So I noticed that when I saw, you know, when I was officiating other tournaments where I'm like, oh, okay. When that happens, it basically becomes so open. And, yeah, it's a huge disadvantage for the offense. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. What, anything stick out to you about the fours bracket that was exciting or interesting for you?
Not specifically. Man, I will shout out Philip. He was my number two for the entire day.
Nice.
He was new to officiating. This is only his second tournament ever.
Okay.
He is a player, so he does understand the rules, but he doesn't know them like we all do.
Yeah.
but on a field, I say I definitely learned this from him, where I'm able to go on the field as a white hat, and within the first 5-6 plays, I can tell the strengths and weaknesses of my number two.
Gotcha.
Now, I will say there was for comp and rec, it was fine. No one really understands the rules that well in comp and rec anyway. Mm-hmm. But once it got to elite, yeah.
Burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but I played rec for a while.
You're right here. You're right here. We have feelings. We're right here.
Okay. Yeah,
fine. But then, you know, once you got to elite, you could definitely see how well players understand our mechanics and where we can or where we are and where we are not looking, especially in a two-man crew. Because the amount of holds that the players were crying about was just crazy.
Yeah, so apparently in elite and pro, they're just superior human beings compared to us.
Pesos. Of course, yeah, of course, yeah, sense. Yeah,
okay,
bootleggers,
yeah. So, all right, so then you and me were, you know, we were off in the beautiful island of the youth bracket on Sunday. We did high school boys, we did middle school boys, then we had, you know, some of the little guys. It was a fun experience. I do enjoy doing youth from time to time. Breaks things up a little bit. I think the only thing for me is sometimes the coaches forget that these are young kids, and they take, you know, they get really intense. Keeping coaches off the field might be one of the biggest issues.
Yeah.
I definitely almost plowed through a little 6-year-old kid that was on the sideline because he was trying to record and you know, once I turn in one direction, that's it. That's my only direction I'm going. So, you know, I tried my best to keep that sideline clear. What did you like most about the youth experience?
Honestly, the amount of cuss words that these kids just walk around saying nonsense. I'm like, do you guys want to like get on this kid?
Yeah.
They're like, nah, we're good. I was like, all right, me neither. Me, no. I got it. I was just super impressed with all the foul language. It blew me away. I was very astonished.
Yeah.
Other than that, to watch these kids at this age to understand the sport and know, and they're trying to be, you know, 11 or 14, and they're trying to be like the Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're like checking it down. I'm like, bro, who is this kid?
Yeah.
But, you know, again, you know, you see him, you're like, okay, perfect. This guy either thinks he's good or he's going to suck.
Yeah, yeah.
And just seeing, like, the evolution of, you know, because, again, going from pros to kids, you can see where we're at and where we're starting.
Yeah.
And the kids now, I think, are going to be so much better Absolutely. Than these players. And these players now are spectacular.
Yep.
But these kids are going to be even better. You put 20 years experience under a kid's belt.
Yeah.
By mid-20s, oh, man, he's going to be electrified.
Yeah, for sure. So we had a lot of action on the field. I noticed from a distance, I know Lance fell down at one point. We didn't know anything about that going on.
I hate we did. That's news to me.
You know?
Lance is down.
There was a real big scuffle. The cops had to get involved at one point on the pro field. You and me were just enjoying life on the youth field.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
I mean?
I smiled the entire day.
You know. So, but for me, the highlight of Sunday is a situation that happened between you and me. And I have to bring it up.
I don't know if I even
have to talk about it. Okay. It was a semifinal game. The team was up 6-0. The team on defense was up 6-0.
Yeah.
So it's third and goal in the red zone. The offense needs this touchdown to stay in this game. They throw a pick. Okay. Now I'm in the back of the end zone. We're on a two-man crew. I'm in the back of the end zone. You're on the line of scrimmage. So easily you have 15 yards. Am I right? You have 15 yards on me.
I'm on the 6-yard line.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's only 13.
13.
So, you know,
okay.
Yeah.
13 yards. So the interception happens. And the quarterback misses the flag, as most quarterbacks do, and the DB starts running up the field. Now, I know that I got an opportunity
you do.
To beat you to the goal line. So I turn my jets on immediately. I'm talking about Forrest Gump.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Running All as right. fast as I possibly can because I saw you 13 yards away from me, and I felt like I could fill that gap pretty easily. So then I start going. And I'm just chasing this DB, and I get to the goal line, touchdown, and I look over, and you are on the ground. I don't know if you're laughing. I don't know if you're crying. Now I have concern. Did I just hurt? Did I just hurt my fellow official? What happened, man?
So I'm on the 6-yard line, and so, of course, the quarterback gets rid of the ball, so I'm walking towards the end zone.
Yeah.
The interception happens, and the only thing I thought in my head was, shit. Because I know at this point, sometimes you just don't expect an interception.
Yeah.
And if
yeah,
you're
yeah.
in the end zone, and if you're with that age of kid,
yeah,
they're like, I want to score.
Yeah.
Adults would be like, touchback.
Yeah.
I'll take the quarterback to do your job.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but
yeah,
a kid's exactly. like, bro, I'm about to embarrass all of them. This ain't going to be good. And so I'm running down the field. So I get to midfield, and I look over, and you are – behind the kid. So I like halfway slowed down. I didn't know that you were like, again, Forrest Gumping that thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so by the time that I look back at the kid, I want to make sure I'm clear. I come back, you're neck and neck with the kid. And I mean, you're just when the gallop happened, I started to laugh.
Yeah.
And then at that point, my knees were like, you have to choose to run or laugh. And I cannot do both. And
yeah.
and I was having so much fun at the time the laughter just took over.
Yeah.
And at that point, my knees were like, man, damn. So
man, damn.
I'm like hysterically laughing. I got tears. I'm drooling myself. And then there are parents on the sideline. They're like, hey, ref, your man's down. You checked on him.
Yeah.
So I start laughing even harder. I'm like, no, you guys don't get it. It's an inside joke.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just got my axe waxed.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. So, Zane, let that be a lesson to you. Okay. You're next. Okay, I took down one Calico.
Yes.
And you're next. If it happens tomorrow, it might, you know, but I'm going to get you
in
too,
the
bro.
Ring, you just know it's worse.
Hey, just know, I don't need compression socks to have this here. It's already here.
Okay, all right. I hear you. All right, so I feel like we covered Miami pretty
good,
you know. And, again, thank you so much to Jacob and Lance for holding it down. They both had their own experiences they shared, and because I couldn't hear what they were saying. But they did a great job. I think we followed it up, and now we're moving on. Tomorrow it's Contact,
yeah.
Campbell
yes,
City,
sir. Yeah.
You know, Mamba City, whatever we want to
That's
call
right.
it. Let's put it down. I know Bex has already predicted they're going to win it all. Who
yeah.
cares? I'm ready to officiate some contact.
That's right.
You know,
That's right.
Take me out of the youth five non-contact to contact.
This is
Kansas City.
This is definitely grown man ball.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, all right.
SEC.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, all right, Zane, just wrap us up, talk about where we're at, and let's get out of here.
Yes, sir. So tomorrow, we all have Camel City tomorrow. Camel City Championship, of course. Like I said, Bexing, they're going to win it. Jordan says his mama city.
Whoa. As I say, just shout out, hashtag mama city. I have no favorites.
Okay.
Whoever wins, congratulations.
Yes, but with that being said, we are going to get ready for tomorrow. Make sure to like, subscribe, share, follow, everything. We're clocks running on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, everywhere.
Got it. Yep.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you so much.